Good evening. Here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, January 2nd. Democrat Chrisanta Duran will serve as the top lawmaker in the State House of Representatives next session, leading the 65-member chamber as Speaker of the House. She will also be the first Latina to serve in that role in state history. Bensa Berkland sat down with her to talk about the upcoming session.
You are the first Latina speaker. How does that play into your perspective and how you approach things?
It is a great honor to have been elected by my colleagues to serve as the next Speaker of the House. And in going forward in this upcoming legislative session, we are going to be focused on making sure that we always put people first. We want the Colorado House Democrats to stand for not taking any Coloradans for granted and not leaving any Coloradans behind. And so I'm hopeful that the upcoming legislative session will be one that's productive.
Do you feel that that's something your party needs to work on coming out of this presidential race, where a lot of people who voted for Trump said they did feel left behind?
Well, Colorado House Democrats actually had great advancements this last election. We went from 34 seats to 37 seats. And I think that's representative of the fact that we have leaders from all areas of Colorado that listen to their constituents and deliver results to the issues that people deal with every day.
We're not going into a big election year this session. So do you think of something substantive and some big policy solution both sides can agree on is going to happen, it'll happen this session?
Well, the budget is in a very challenging position, and we need to make sure that we're adequately investing in education and also transportation. With so much growth to the state and economic activity that we've seen here, we need to ensure that we invest in our roads and bridges and infrastructure, and that we think about how we organize our roads, not just to move cars, but also people. And that's why prior to the election, I convened a group of legislators in leadership to start talking about transportation funding specifically. I'm hopeful that we will be able to come up with a statewide transportation plan this session.
Is that something you think will be part of the budget? Or could we possibly refer something to voters for instance, raising the gas tax?
We're putting all options on the table because we have to look at a variety of ways to address our budget issues. The last two sessions, Democrats came forward with changing the hospital provider fee into an enterprise, which would have freed up hundreds of millions of dollars under the Tabor cap to invest in education and transportation. That's something that we're still interested in, but we also have to recognize that that would have been a band-aid to a larger budget issue. And that's why we've convened this group of Republicans and Democrats to figure out what can we do long-term in the state of Colorado to address our transportation needs. I feel very strongly and felt this before the election, that regardless of who won or lost on election day, to be able to do this effectively, we have to have everyone at the table and have Republicans and Democrats working together. We're continuing those conversations, and we're looking at a variety of different options.
You served on the Joint Budget Committee. What do you see as the biggest budget challenge lawmakers will have to grapple with this session?
One area in particular that I think we have to continue some of the good work that we've done before is making sure that the people of Colorado have tools to succeed, get good paying jobs. We should be thinking always about how we invest in local workers and local businesses. And specifically, right now there are jobs in Colorado in the technology industry that are not being fulfilled, and particularly areas like computer science and digital literacy. Only 1 in 4 Colorado students have access to computer science or digital literacy classes. We need to do more to make sure that those options are available for students. As we have a changing economy, we need to make sure everyone has tools to succeed, to be able to provide for themselves and for their families.
It's hard to predict with a Trump presidency, but how much do you think you, as the Democratic leader in the State House, will have to respond to what's happening nationally?
Well, we're going to focus on being as productive as possible in Colorado. I do think we have a tradition of Republicans and Democrats coming together. That said, I will stand strong against any actions that can hurt Colorado families. And we need to make sure that we focus on always putting people first.
Thanks. We appreciate you taking the time. That's incoming Speaker of the House, Chrisanta Duran. I'm Bente Berkland in Denver.
On the eve of the opening session on January 11th, stay tuned for more Capitol coverage profiles of legislative leaders, as well as Bente Berkland's interview with Governor John Hickenlooper. One interview per day will air this entire week on the KVNF regional newscast. A new poll asked Latino voters in Colorado and across the nation how they feel about climate change, clean energy, and air pollution. Eric Galatis has the results.
More than 70% of Latino voters are deeply concerned about the environment and how it affects their families. That's according to a new Latino Decisions poll, which found over 90% of Latino Coloradans want the president-elect and new Congress to fight climate change. Dominic Moreno, incoming Colorado senator for Adams County, says he isn't surprised by the poll results.
The Latino community, I think, in Colorado really cares about the environment, cares about climate change and doing something about that, and is generally, I think, more environmentally sensitive to these issues.
He adds the survey confirms Latinos are an increasingly important voting bloc and are willing to take their convictions into the voting booth. In Colorado, 96% of Latinos surveyed said they support candidates who work to protect public health by limiting air pollution. Nationally, Latino Republicans were less enthusiastic than Democrats about the need for action on climate change, but more than 60% agreed it's an important issue. Over 90% want more clean energy development. Edward Vargas with Latino Decision says these voters care about the environment because Latino communities are disproportionately affected.
We tend to reside and live near environmental dump sites, factories. Latinos are also more likely to be working in the field. So I think this is just a reflection of where we live and where we work is impacted by the environment.
Moreno says he's confident the Latino community will keep a watchful eye on the Trump administration and Congress in case they try to reverse progress on climate change or let energy producers off the hook.
You're going to see them really, I think, rise up and say that we're not going to accept the status quo, that we're not going to accept halting the work that we've already done to make sure that no matter where you live, that you have access to clean air and clean water and outdoor recreation.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
In a press release, Colorado Parks and Wildlife reminds resident owners of boats, off-highway vehicles, and snowmobiles that after January 1st, they must provide proof of ownership before they can register their vehicles. Providing proof of ownership is a new Colorado state law. The purpose of the regulation is to assure that stolen vehicles are not being bought or sold. The following can be used for proof of ownership: a bill that includes the date of sale, the names of the seller and buyer, printed and signed, the vehicle identification number, the vehicle make, model, and year, previous registration certificate, manufacturer's certificate of origin or manufacturer's statement of origin, certificate of title, any court-issued document providing ownership. If an owner does not have any of these documents, the boat or vehicle can be taken to any Parks and Wildlife office where it will be inspected. Contact a Parks and Wildlife officer to make an appointment or for more information. The Associated Press is reporting that Denver Broncos coach Gary Kubiak will step down. Kubiak was the head coach for two seasons in Denver, winning Super Bowl 50 and compiling a 24-11 record with the Broncos. Denver beat Oakland 24-6 on Sunday and did not make the playoffs this season with a record of 9-7. It was the first time in 6 years that Denver did not win the AFC West. And that was your regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.